18. Deuteronomy chapter 28, beginning with verse 15. However, if you do not obey the Lord your God, do not carefully follow all his commands and decrees I am giving you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. You will be cursed in the city and cursed in the country. Your basket and your kneading trough will be cursed. The fruit of your womb will be cursed, and the crops of your land, and the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks. You will be cursed when you come in, and cursed when you go out. The Lord will send on you curses, confusion, rebuke, and everything you put your hand to, until you are destroyed and come to sudden ruin because of the evil you have done in forsaking him. The Lord will plague you with diseases until he has destroyed you from the land you are entering to possess. The Lord will strike you with wasting disease, with fever and inflammation, with scorching heat and drought, with blight and mildew, which will plague you until you perish. The sky over your head will be bronze, the ground beneath you iron. The Lord will turn the rain of your country into dust and powder. It will come down from the skies until you are destroyed. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You will come at them from one direction, but flee from them in seven. And you will become a thing of horror to all the kingdoms on earth. Your carcasses will be food for all the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and there will be no one to frighten them away. The Lord will afflict you with the boils of Egypt and with tumors, festering sores, and the itch from which you cannot be cured. The Lord will afflict you with madness, blindness, and confusion of mind. At midday, you will grope around like a blind man in the dark. You will be unsuccessful in everything you do. Day after day, you will be oppressed and robbed with no one to rescue you. God's word for our consideration this morning. Please be seated. The Bible and cancer. What does the Bible have to say concerning the word cancer? In our congregation, our pew Bibles are the New International Version, and many of you use that version. And if you look at an exhaustive concordance for the New International Version, meaning it has every one of the over 750,000 words we find in the Bible, how many times do you think you can find the word cancer? Zero. But you do find reference to tumors. And there are only 8 references in the entire Bible to tumors. 3 of those references are found within 1 Samuel chapter 5, verses 6 to 12. And then you find 4 more references to tumors in 1 Samuel chapter 6, between verses 4 to 17. And the only other reference to tumors in the Bible is what we just read from Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 27. On June the 9th this year, I was able to attend a most interesting continuing education seminar for clergy at the Waynesboro Hospital. And the speaker at that workshop was Dr. John Robinson, an oncologist from Chambersburg. And his presentation was called Biblically Based Cancer Prevention. And in my message this morning, I'm going to share with you some of what Dr. Robinson had to say about the Bible and cancer, as well as other biblical commentaries on our text. Dr. Robinson discussed the following cancers: lung, breast, colon, and prostate cancer. As I was returning from visiting my mother in North Carolina this week, I was listening to a talk radio station, and I was amazed to hear a different oncologist state that basically 30 years ago, they thought there was one type of breast cancer. And this oncologist says now there's not one type of breast cancer, but there are 80 different types of breast cancer that have been diagnosed. Dr. Robinson stated that 95% of individuals diagnosed with lung cancer are smokers. But of course, we all know some people have had lung cancer who were not smokers. Dr. Robinson reminded the pastors there about 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Another scripture that Dr. Robinson quoted that morning was from Genesis 1:29. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. You see, Dr. Robinson, the oncologist, believes that consuming the right kinds of food is a key to cancer prevention. Eating the right types of food can strengthen our immune systems. And it is a known scientific research fact that eating fruits and vegetables can help prevent cancer. For example, he stated eating apples have been shown to be preventative for breast cancer, and eating the peel of the apple is what is especially beneficial. And he encouraged all of us at that seminar to eat more of the fruits and vegetables that are darker in color in order to prevent cancer. Now, does the Bible talk about fruits and vegetables? It sure does. Some of the healthy fruits mentioned in the Bible include apples, olives, figs, grapes, pomegranates, melons, locust beans, sometimes known as carobs, almonds, and pistachio nuts. And some of the healthy vegetables mentioned in the Bible include beans, lentils, leeks, onions, garlic, and cucumbers. Dr. Robinson also shared from Psalm 104, verse 14. He makes grass grow for the cattle and plants for man to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth. Dr. Robinson said that most of us all have this problem. We eat too much meat. An excessive animal product consumption has been shown by research not only to increase the risk for cancer, but also heart disease. Did you know that Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 3 to 20, provides some guidance for us on food consumption? You can read that later. And some people today are following the doctor's prescription by practicing meatless Mondays and eating less pork. Dr. Robinson said, pork is a big no-no, but I know we love it. Leviticus 26, verse 5 says, your threshing will continue until grape harvest, and the grape harvest will continue until planting, and you will eat all the food you want. Oh, we like that, right? And live safely in your land. Now, I want to make clear that this passage from Leviticus chapter 26, verse 5, that says, eating all the food you want, is not an endorsement of the seafood diet that I know some of you practice. That is, whatever food you see, you eat. Instead, Dr. Robinson advises buying whole grain breads and eating high fiber cereals. Bread, we know from studying the scriptures, was a basic food item in biblical times. The poor people in Bible times utilized barley grains. Those that were better off consumed bread made from wheat. But wheat bread was considered to be more delicious and nutritious than barley bread. And in biblical times, bread always was broken by people's hands. They never knew what sliced bread was. Dr. Robinson reported that the National Cancer Institute has found that fiber binds up the toxins that can lead to cancer. And he recommends taking fiber supplement if a person does not consume enough fiber. And he recommends, if you can afford it, to buy organically raised fruits and vegetables and carefully wash whatever you purchase. We know in biblical times the cancer rate was very low. right? Hardly any references in the Bible to tumors. Dr. Robinson said, in our local area, colon cancer has become an epidemic. But he also said, for example, if you travel to modern Africa, where people consume large quantities of high-fiber yams, colon cancer is very rare in Africa today. Dr. Robinson also gave us some advice about cooking. He says, when you cook meat, don't fry it. Don't barbecue it. Don't broil it. You're wondering, what's he saying? Eat it raw? No. If you barbecue, if you fry, if you broil the meat, he said that this type of cooking causes chemical changes in the meat. In other words, it is better to bake, boil, or slowly cook meat in a crock pot. Now, I know some of you, because I've been in your homes, you've offered me a soda. And you don't find anybody in the Bible drinking soda, do you? Dr. Robinson said many people today are addicted to soft drinks. And even many artificial sweeteners have been linked to causing cancer. He told a very interesting story. He said when he goes to the grocery store, he sees people pushing these grocery carts. And he knows some of these people. And some of them have half of their grocery cart filled with soda, and the other half is filled with Hungry Man dinners. And he said, those are the people that I soon see in my oncologist's office. In biblical times, they didn't have artificial sweeteners. They used regular honey that was taken from wild bees, and that was used in biblical times as a sweetener because you don't have any mention in the Bible about sugar. And Dr. Robinson said more than once in his presentation that cancer cells love sugar. Dr. Robinson indicated that water, juice, tea, and coffee can also help flush those toxins from our body. An adequate consumption of grape juice can not only help to prevent cancer, but also heart disease and stroke. He said the French people like to say they don't have a lot of cancer because they drink so much wine. But Dr. Robinson said it isn't the wine, it isn't the alcohol, but it's the grape that helps to prevent the cancer. We need to try to consume food as God has created it instead of how humans have changed food. For example, Dr. Robinson recommended buying organic milk, not the milk where the cows have been fed extra hormones to consume in their feed. He also said the lower the fat content, the better. And he shared for some people maybe soy milk would be a healthy option. He talked to us about a drug that's been proven to prevent cancer. But he said the drug companies don't want you to know about this drug. Back in 1897, Bayer laboratories in Germany were able to synthesize the bark of the willow tree, that's natural, right, into what we today call aspirin. He said that most cancer cells start with some form of inflammation. We read about inflammation in our text today, didn't we? For example, sunburn causes inflammation, right? It damages the DNA of our cells. And research has indicated that taking aspirin can prevent cancer. One study he quoted said that taking aspirin resulted in a 45% reduction in all forms of cancer. Now, Dr. Robinson said that he takes an 81 milligram aspirin 3 times a week in the morning. He also quoted a famous long-term health study that some of the medical professionals in our congregation are aware of called the Framingham, Massachusetts Heart Study. And that study revealed that those who took aspirin, and this is over a long term of years, experienced also a 50% reduction in heart attack and stroke. But he said, He knows that some people cannot tolerate aspirin well, and he recommends taking ibuprofen instead of Tylenol. Another study Dr. Robinson quoted reveals that men who took a particular name brand of multivitamin had a reduction in cancers. And he said that he takes a multiple vitamin every day, but he doesn't take it in the morning. He takes it at night for the most benefit. And how about our weight? Research has shown that obesity leads to cancer. And he said the more calories we take in, the more likely we are to get cancer. And there's another item that increases our risk for cancer. And that item is called stress. And of course, we are all familiar with some of the major life events that are stressful. The death of a spouse, a divorce, a marital separation, a jail term, the death of a close family member, personal injury, illness, being fired at work, retirement, or the change in health of a family member, this all produces stress. And he shared the example of spouses who care for loved ones who are being treated for cancer. And he says the spouse of a person who's being treated for cancer is under a tremendous amount of stress. And he mentioned that too often, within 6 months after the death of the spouse, the surviving spouse is also in his office with symptoms of cancer. How do we deal with stress? One way we can deal with stress is through prayer and meditation. For example, we read in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. And these are commands. These are not suggestions. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts." And where's the stress at, folks? It's up here in our minds in Christ Jesus. Now, some of you are probably saying, "Pastor, stress is natural. We can't get away from stress." And I agree with you 100%. But does God call us to live on the natural level? No. He calls us to live on a supernatural level, empowered and guided by the Holy Spirit. An active, living faith can help us all enjoy a healthier lifestyle. We were reading in our scripture text today a lot of curses, right? And I hope you don't leave church this morning and somebody asks you the question, "What did the pastor preach about?" He preached about curses. No, I want you to say the pastor preached about cancer. But there are many curses for disobedience that are mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 28, the verses we read, verses 15 to 29. And I wonder, in our own lives, how many of these curses are we or people in our nation experiencing today because of disobedience or refusal to trust God? Verses 16 to 19 indicate that curses, confusion, and rebuke would fall upon everything the disobedient Israelites did until destruction and sudden ruin enveloped her. Did you look at some of the plagues mentioned in verses 20 to 21 that would attack the Israelites physically, but they also had plagues that would affect their lands and their goods? And in verses 22 to 24, the bodily aspects of the curse would come upon the Israelites that included illnesses of various sorts, and disturbance of their emotional and their mental balance would follow. And not only were there various diseases to be the people's punishment, but remember, even the land was going to suffer physically. And just as the specific diseases mentioned it in some way relate to the heat of fever or inflammation, the curse of the land mentions also the heat of drought and its consequences. Did you notice in our text the scorching heat from a bronze sky? The drought producing dust rather than rain, and the soil that was made as hard as iron by those fierce east winds coming out of the Arabian desert. Verse 25 also indicates that Israel would suffer defeat in warfare, And then we find in verses 28 and 29, these diseases result in other debilitating dysfunctions such as madness, blindness, and mental confusion. And their blindness was going to be so complete that in the brightness of noon, the people were going to grope around being unsuccessful in anything they were going to try to attempt. As we read through this together this morning, how many of these maladies mentioned in these verses could be descriptive of events in our country or in the world yet today? I'm certain that you agree with me that tumors or cancer are just one of the many curses mentioned in our scripture text this morning. But we can be grateful that we can make an appointment anytime with the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ, day or night, to receive a blessing from Him and not be cursed. Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14 states, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Yes, many years ago, Jesus Christ hung on that cross for you, and He hung on that cross for me. And may we never forget the eternal debt that we owe to Jesus and His Word. For in the words of Isaiah 53:5, but He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him. And by His wounds we are healed. Will you join with me as we stand for our hymn of invitation, number 58. I gave my life for Thee, number 58.